Hell of a woman, ain't you, like you David Miller, the 12th hour apostolic secretary in congregation runs out the 12th hour. In the Elgin, Texas, today is September the 17th, 2024, already the 15th day of history, 28. We will start our second service on this solemn assembly, on this Feast of Tabernacles day. This is our Holy Sabbath day, and we will do number 8, starting on page 160 of Shepherd Rod, Volume 1, by the V.T. Hollis, and the title of the sermon is A People Prepared for a New Heaven and a New Earth, Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, 1. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, behold me. I said, unto a nation that was not called by my name. For the language used in this verse is in the past tense. However, there is a chance for an argument as to whether it be in the past or present tense, as it is translated in the King James Version. For the following, which is all together in the past tense, is quoted from the Hebrew translation by the Isaac Lesher. I followed myself to be sought by those. I allowed myself to be sought by those that asked not. I let myself be found by these are those that sought me not. I said, here am I, unto a nation that called itself not by my name. For the Greek also, the Bulgarian, are in the past tense. But let us quote the same verse which was quoted by the Paul unto the Romans, as it is in the King James Version, Romans 10:20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Certainly no one can dispute the language used by the Paul, for he is well educated in the both Hebrew and Latin tongues. Furthermore, Paul made the translation with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we must believe this scripture is as it is translated by him from the Hebrews to the Greek. In the past tense, we shall speak of Isaiah 65:2 and then come back with the thought. I have spread out my hand all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. Note that while the first verse is in the past tense, the second is in the present. Paul applies the first verse unto the Gentiles in his time, but the second unto Israel after the flood. Here is an opportunity for the concentration of the thought upon the subject. Paul is applying the scripture in the past tense unto the present time in his day, but the scripture in the present tense he applies unto the people in the past. The way the application is made certainly does not sound grammatically correct, but we cannot say Paul made a mistake, for the application and translation must be right, as well as grammatically correct. For the wisdom used in this scripture is amazing, and it should cause us to give glory unto our Father Yahweh, for the Paul under or with the spirit of the inspiration made the application, so as for the clearing of the scripture from the apparent complication, for the chapter was not written for the Israel, nor for the Gentiles in the power of heaven, but directly for the church at the present time. If this can be proven, we must accept it as the present truth direct from Yahweh for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. For the scriptures being grammatically incorrect of the application proof that the time for this chapter was not yet right. For the same as other scriptures and prophecies, it could not be understood nor correctly applied until the time appointed. Then the Yahweh reveals his word unto his people in the manner he will choose, but it may come in an unexpected way. For the first verse rightfully applies unto the Gentiles. For the second verse was applied unto the Israel after the flesh, which is a type of Israel by the promise. Now Israel by the promise is in the 12th hour and is the house of David with the 144,000. The first fruit of the harvest of the Adventist church. So it says at this present time, namely the Seventh-day Adventist. For this reason, all had to apply the scripture unto the type, for the true was not yet in the existence. Now, the time being right, the scripture is grammatically correct. The first verse in the past tense for the Gentiles in the Paul's time, the second for the Seventh-day Adventist church at this present time, and the present tense. Thus we have the positive proof of the application and the time for the applying of this scripture. This should turn out our hearts unto the Yahweh and cause us to search diligently for the prophecies contained in this chapter. For the space will not permit for the presenting here all of this chapter that this chapter contains, only an outline of some of the things will be given. For the charge against the SDA Church is not a pleasant one, but it ought not to discourage any one of us. For our Yahweh is merciful and willing to forgive us of our sins if we would but acknowledge our guilt. Had it not been so, we would not have sent, he would not have sent the message. The last part of the Isaiah 65:3 is quoted here. That sacrifices in the garden and burneth incense upon the altars of the brick. For we must understand that these are symbols, but they are not hard to decipher. Had it been impossible to be understood, no one could profit by it. Therefore, the symbol would not have been used in the chapter. Gardens are used for a display. Sacrifice is the same as a gift. Incense, according unto Revelation 8:3-4, is the way prayers are sent to Yahweh. Nowhere in the Bible can we read of any of Yahweh's people building altars of brick. Altars to Yahweh were always built with stone. For the difference between brick and stone will now be considered. It says, brick is a product of man, but stone is the workmanship of the Yahweh. That is now considered a lesson intended here. Gardens display sacrifice, gifts, incense prayers, bricks man-made. The proposition, the charge is, we sacrifice for display. We offer our prayers unto Yahweh upon the altar of brick. we follow after the man instead of Yahweh's pure word as given unto the church. Isaiah 65:4, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat the swine's flesh and broth of the abominable things is in their vessels. In the graves and the monuments, meaning man-made devices of which there is no resurrection, swine's flesh, broth of the abominable things, means the disregard of the healthy form. Man eats whatever his lustful appetite craves for. Isaiah 65:5, which says, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. While this flesh is not living the truth, yet they think they are better than others. And being so high-minded by their action, they say, we are holier than thou. In the 6th verse, Yahweh said, he will recompense into their bosom by the information already given. The reader can determine the meaning of the 7th verse, Isaiah 65:8. Thus says to Yeshua, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Cluster is composed of many grapes, and is a symbol of the church as a body. For Yeshua says he will not destroy them all. For the wine in the cluster represents the blood of the Yeshua. And for this reason, all are not destroyed. For the 10th verse speaks of the promise unto those who shall escape. For the 11th and 12th verses speak of the class that shall perish. For the slaughter here is the same as that of Ezekiel 9, quoting Isaiah 65:12. Therefore will I number you unto the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Isaiah 65:13 and 14. Show Yahweh's terror over his people and the suffering of the other class, Isaiah 65:15. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen, for the Yahshua shall slay thee and call his servants by another name. This verse has been previously explained in the connection with the 67th chapter 62 of Isaiah, page 155. For the class mentioned here is the same as in the volume 5, page 82. For the call for this great and solemn work was presented unto men of the learning and physicians. Had these been little in their own eyes and trusted fully in Yahshua, he would have honored them with the bearing his standard and the triumph unto the victory. But they separated from the Yahweh, yielded unto the influence of the world, and the Yahweh rejected them. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the Yahweh of the truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hid from mine eyes. Bless himself in the Yahweh of the truth. Many people will bless themselves, but not in the Yahweh of the truth. That is, they obtain riches or some other blessing, but not by honesty. Some swear, but not by the Yahweh of the truth. That is, they will tell a falsehood. But after Yahweh purifies his church, all these things shall pass away and be forgotten. Isaiah 65:17-19 speak of the new earth. Isaiah 65:20. the third quarter from the Hebrew translation by the eyes of Blessed. There shall no more sense an infant of a few days, nor an old man that shall not have the full length of his days. For as a lad shall one die at 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed. He who dieth at 100 years old, the same, this translation makes the meaning of the verse just a little plainer than the King James. For the scripture speaks of the time at the end of 1,000 years, millennium, after the resurrection of the wicked. At that time there will not be any birth to enter. There shall no more sense an infant of being. There shall no more sense be an infant of the days for the lesson. Therefore, it's not so difficult for one to comprehend. All the wicked are called forth in the second resurrection, whether old or young. At the time of the death, all come up at the same time. This hour becomes the birth of all the wicked and the second life. There is to be a no natural or unnatural death, for all must live to the time of the second death, which is by fire, come down from that way out of the heaven and devour them. Read Revelation 20:7-10. And as a sinner shall be accursed, he who dies at 100 years old, this scripture predicts the span of life of the wicked after they are resurrected has been 100 years. Whereas the last shall one die at 100 years old, and as a sinner shall be accursed, he who died at 100 years old, during this 100-year period, the wicked makes preparation for their attack on the holy city. Read Revelation 20:21-25. Speak of the saints and the earth made new. Here is another evidence that the chapter is intended for the people at the time of the end. For the closing verses speak of the earth made new, for then getting from the Gentiles worshiping the new earth. Isaiah 66 is our next subtitle. Verse 1. Thus saith the Yahshua, for the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build under me, and where is the place of my rest? For the house mentioned here is a spiritual house, as in Ephesians 3:20-22, of which Solomon's temple was a symbol. For the following quotation is found in Prophecy 3, pages 35 and 36. Thus, as a building on the Mount Moriah was noiselessly upreared, with stone made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building, the beautiful fittings were perfected according unto the pattern committed by David and to his son. For the lesson intended here is that the spiritual stone, the members of the SDA church, are to be made ready, and that would be the 144,000, before they are brought thither. Why then are candidates so often granted that baptism and membership in the church without being instructed in all of the Advent truth? It is surprising to know that the large number of the so-called Seventh-day Adventists who do not believe in the writings of the Spirit of Prophecy and altogether ignorant of the truth and the healthy form are not these the fundamental principles in the church. Is not healthy form the right hand and arm of the third angel Jesse? Has not this continual practice drifted the church into the world? That beautiful temple reveals Yahweh's desire for his church. For this reason, Yahweh lavished so much wealth upon the palatial structure upon the Mount Moriah, according to the estimates given in the monthly bulletin of the Illinois Society of Architects, for it reached a tremendous total of more than $87 billion. The several estimates show the total cost to have been $87,312,210,840. The sum represents the nation's wealth. For the question is, how did Israel ever raise such an enormous sum of money to lavish on one single structure? Yahweh never asked us to do anything unless he himself makes it possible. For the tremendous amount of the wealth expended on this magnificent temple represents Yahweh's care and love for his people, as well as the glory of the church. For the Solomon recognized that this temple was but a symbol of a temple which he was not able to build. In 2 Chronicles 2:6 we read, "But who is able to build him a house? Seeing the heaven and the heaven of heaven cannot contain him, who am I then that should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifices for him?" For Yahweh asked his people at this present time, "Where is the house which you build unto me?" Isaiah 66:1. UA's version reads, "That you will build to me." For the Hebrew translation reads, "A house that you can build unto me. For the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." So this scripture shows that the impossibility for a human mortal to do anything for Yahweh except he does it through him. How offensive it must be to heaven when we say we are to finish Yahweh's work in this generation, or attempt to build him a house by the plans of men. We have said it and have acted like it, but we have failed. Now Yahweh asks it, "Where is the house that you will build unto me?" One may say, "See this great denomination we have built. If there is any greatness about it, it is not unto man's credit. Though we have boasted much of our efforts, Yahweh lets us go on according unto our supposed wise judgment until we fall and discover our mistake. True, it is a great denomination, but Yahweh does not see it the way we do. At the rate we are going, it would take us hundreds of years to finish the work. And the fact of the matter is, we never can. Furthermore, as great a denomination as it is not ready for the translation. Therefore, we can ask ourselves, where is the house we have built?" The 13th chapter of Ezekiel is written for the church at this present time, from which we quote Ezekiel 13:5. "You have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the heads for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Yahshua. And where is the place of my rest?" We call ourselves Sabbath keepers and boast much of keeping the commandments of the Yahweh. But here we are asked, "Where is the place of my rest?" We have polluted Yahweh's holy day and desecrated the Sabbath with the merchandise. As previously explained on the pages 147 and 448, see also page 124, a good minister of Yahweh, after being questioned as to the authority and selling our publications on the Sabbath day in the house of Yahweh said, it is a question just how much of our publications are to be sold on the Sabbath. For the confliction in this minister's mind was answered in three short words, none of it. But this answer did not satisfy the man in the sacred position, and he added, ancient Israel killed a lamb and sacrificed it on the Sabbath, therefore we can sell our books. But the answer given to this was, if Israel did sacrifice a lamb on the seventh day Sabbath, they were told to do so. But you are told not to, and that is the difference. For the fact of the matter is that Yahweh did not give the seventh day Sabbath to the ancient Israel for sacrifice, but for a day of rest. Well, Big Talib made a big blunder right here. This just come off out of his own mind, because Yahweh did give sacrifices to be offered on the seventh day Sabbath, as well as all the other holy days of the sanctuary, and they weren't called works. And you rested at the same time that you offered these sacrifices. You was keeping the Sabbath day holy, and you was performing sacrifices that was ordered by heaven. And so therefore, Yahweh didn't say that offering sacrifice on the Sabbath is breaking his holy day, when he gave those sacrifices to be offered on the holy day. Monthly Sabbaths were added for the sacrifice. Now, the monthly Sabbath of your new moon, he offered sacrifices on the Feast of Tabernacles, like the day I'm keeping today, the 15th of Tishri, is a holy day. We're observing it today. And this is the day that they offered sacrifices back then, on all holy days of the year, not just the new moon, the month of Sabbath, or the seventh day Sabbath. Read Leviticus 23. It says so right here. In the second verse of Isaiah 66, Yahweh tells us that all these things which we boast of, he has made, and they have been. But to this man will I look, even unto him that is born of a contrite spirit, penitent spirit, and trembleth at my word, Isaiah 66:3. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. For the scripture is unmistakably plain that our sacrifices, offerings, prayers, and whatever form of the religion we may have, is not only an abomination unto him, but it is most offensive. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighted in their abominations. It says Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusion and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Yahweh did call for these lessons when they came to the church through the Sabbath school department. But they came and went and are forgotten. So then, because they have chosen their own ways and did evil before the Yahweh and delighted not in the following of the instructions given unto the SDA church, now, he says, he will choose their delusions. Oh, here it is right here. And will bring their fear upon them. It is a fearful thing to turn a deaf ear unto the voice of Yahweh. While this verse speaks of a class who are determined to follow their own choice and preference unto Yahweh's way, the next verse speaks of a class who do fear Yahweh and dare serve Him. Thus it is unmistakably clear that there are two classes of people in the church, and that's your wheat and tares. Isaiah 66:5. Hear the word of Yahshua, ye that tremble at His word, your brethren that hate you, that cast you out for my name's sake. Said, let the Yahshua be gathered, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. This verse shows that though the call in the lessons was turned down by those in the responsible position, Yahweh's word never returns void unto him. For the class in this verse fear Yahweh and tremble at His word, and the result is that there is a division in the church. The class who are in opposition to Yahweh are either the majority, or those who have a stronger influence upon the members of the church. For the verse says they cast out their brethren, their righteous class, for His name's sake. This class, who are casting out Yahweh's people, think they are doing His service. For the scripture reads, they said, let the Yahshua be glorified. It is bad enough for one to turn down Yahweh's word, but it is far worse when such a one is so blinded that by turning down the heavenly call, thinks he is doing Yahweh's service. For the verse holds an encouraging promise for the Yahweh's fearing ones, for it says, He shall appear unto your joy. And when the Yahshua fulfills His promise, the oppressors of the Yahweh shall be ashamed. It has been one of Satan's tricks throughout the history of the church to flood her with agents and unconverted, so that when the truth comes to the church, as soon as Yahweh's people respond to the call, He stands ready to vote them out by the majority of His followers. For the result has been that necessity gave birth into a new movement or denomination. But according unto the Isaiah 66:4-6, Yahweh is a deal entirely different in this instance. For the reason being because Yahweh organized this denomination Himself by a prophet, and has given us special light of the present truth. Thus it leaves us without excuse, and Yahweh deals accordingly with the people. Quoting Volume 3, page 265. But if the sins of the people are passed over by those in the responsible position, His crown will be upon them, and the people of Yahweh as a body will be held responsible for those sins. In His dealings with His people in the past, Yahweh shows the necessity of purifying the church from the wrongs. For the voice of the noise in the sixth verse has reference unto the class who have chosen their own way and their preference unto the Yahshua's way, whom He calls His enemy. Isaiah 66:7-8. Before she travailed, she brought forth; before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. In these two verses, a comparison is made with the church at the first coming of Yahshua, the Jewish church. upon the church just prior unto the second coming, before she travailed, before her pain came. This refers to the church at the time that the Yahshua came. She did not expect him, travail not, nor did she feel or know when he came. Though she was not worthy, she was delivered of a man-child. For the church referred to in the 8th verse is the opposite of the one in the 7th verse. For the time is ripe for a mighty movement. Well, this mighty movement started in 2002 at Sherman, Texas, at the changing of the guard from Renaissance to Elijah Davis, in which thousands will be converted in a day. This is the church in the time of the latter rain. So the latter rain falls to ripen the grain for the harvest in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. For the loud cry of the third angel's message, the church has become thoroughly in earnest as soon as there is a real travail for the purity of the Senate. The work is finished almost at once. Shall the earth bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Mount Zion at the 12th hour, a travail, she brought forth her children. For the 9th verse shows that Yahweh is the one who does the work. For the 10th, actually, Yahshua the Son. For the 9th verse shows that Yahshua is the one who does the work. For the 10th verse says, those who love her, the church, and mourn for her now, will rejoice and be glad. For the 11th verse shows that they will rejoice and be delighted because of the truth and light in Yahweh's word, which will come to the church represented by the milk, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolation, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Isaiah 66:11, Isaiah 66:12-14, tell of Yahweh's care over his people, and the church's love for her memory. For the Yahshua's favor toward his servant, and indignation toward his enemy. Isaiah 66:15-17. For behold, the Yahshua will come with the fire and with the church like a whirlwind, for the rendering of his anger with the fury, and his rebuke with the flames of the fire. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahshua plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Yahshua shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the garden behind one tree, in the midst of eating swine's flesh, and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, said the Yahshua. For the coming of the Yahshua with the fire, to render his anger with the fury, is not the coming of the Yahshua in the clouds to receive his people. It is before the close of the probation and in the time of the purification of the SDA church, see Malachi 3:1-3. For he comes with his vengeance unto those who claim his name and follow man instead of the Yahshua, and the result is that they do not keep his truth. For the class who do not investigate for themselves, but accept the decisions of others who are following after man and are in the clutches of the devil, behind one tree, margin reads, one after another. Or the reading here justifies the translation. Following the leader, that is, people are inclined to follow a man in a high position instead of searching in the word for themselves and demand, as thus says Yahshua. In the garden behind one tree, this phrase also suggests the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. for the partaking of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden brought sin into the existence. For the charge here is sinner only worse. Men have chosen for their food the things Yahweh has forbidden, and spend money for that which is not bread. By his sword will Yahshua keepeth all faith. This has no reference unto those outside the church. For we read in Isaiah 66:19, and I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, last part, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. It is plain here that those who shall escape the ruin of the judgment, Yahweh shall send unto all the nations and declare his glory unto the Gentiles. Therefore, it must be in the SDA church only and some length of time before the close of probation. For the nations mentioned in the 19th verse is simply for the showing of the Lord's territory covered by his servants and all nations. For the destruction mentioned in Isaiah 66:15-17 and Isaiah 63 is the same. Thus Yahweh makes them an example or sign unto all the nations. For we read in the last part of the 18th verse and the first part of the 19th, it shall come to pass that I will gather all nations and tongues. They shall come and see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, Isaiah 66:20. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Asher out of all nations, upon the horses and in the chariots, and in litters, upon the mules, upon the swift beasts, unto my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Asher, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Asher. This verse shows the ingathering of the Gentiles unto this purified church by his servants 144,000. His holy mountain means his church denomination of the house of David. And in the 12th prayer body, Jerusalem means the leading guard. Isaiah 66:21. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Yahshua. We have previously explained that the 144,000 are to be the priests and Levites, but in this verse, Yahshua says he will take also the Gentiles for the priests and Levites. For the reason for this is given in the next two verses, Isaiah 66:23. It says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon unto another, and from one Sabbath unto another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Yahshua. There is to be a system of worship, therefore a need of the priests and Levites. Isaiah 66:24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence unto all flesh. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. For the man's body is consumed by the worms, and the meaning is that these consuming worms will not die until the body is reduced to dust. Neither will the fire be quenched till the carcasses are reduced to the ashes. The reason why the worm and fire are mentioned here is told in the 16th verse. For by fire and by his sword will Yahshua feedeth all flesh. For the destruction is accomplished by both, and where the sword is used, the worm will do his work. The worm shall not die. The fire shall not be quenched. Meaning that the prophecy is pure, to sure, and the destruction foretold will be accomplished. Well, that's the end of that part six, actually, of the Shepherd's Rod. And We got part 7 now, it says the 4th chapter of Micah, and we have about 15 minutes left on this hour, so we'll go right on into section 7 of the Rod, volume 1. It says, 4th chapter of Micah. What is the meaning of the 4th chapter of the Micah? But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain, and mountain is another word for kingdom, it's synonymous with the word kingdom, that the kingdom of the house of the Yeshua shall be established in the top of the mountains, or other kingdom, or the other kingdom, and it shall be exalted above the hill, and people shall flow unto it. Micah 4:1. For the scripture is unmistakably clear that it was intended for the last days, for its reads, but in the last days it shall come to pass. It is also positive that this scripture would be fulfilled, for it says, it shall come to pass. It is an accepted fact that nearly all the Bible students agree that the mountain spoken of in this chapter is a symbol of the Yahweh's church denomination, of which the temple built on the Mount Moriah was a type. For the prophet declared that Yahweh's church would be established in the top of the mountain denomination, and it shall be exalted above the hills, the sects, or the organization, exalted not by the world, but by the Spirit of Yahweh, and the power, truth, and righteousness, and people will flow unto it, for Yahweh has spoken it by his holy prophet. Therefore it would be foolish and deceptive for one to argue or try to explain away the meaning of the sacred word. For this same prophecy is also described in the 2nd chapter of the Isaiah, from which we quote, for the lofty looks of the man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Yahshua alone shall be exalted in that day. Isaiah 2:11. If everything that is human will be made low and bowed down, and Yahshua alone exalted in that day, one can clearly see that the prophecy is to meet its fulfillment, for the Yahshua is exalted on the earth by his church, purified church, as portrayed by the prophet Isaiah. There shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy father Yahweh. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Judah, for the Yahshua delighteth in thee. Isaiah 62:3-4. When the mountain of the Yahshua is thus established on the top of the mountain, and exalted above all the hills, then doubtless people shall flow unto it. For this glorious time spoken of by the prophet Micah is none other than the loud cry of the third angel's message. For the 60th chapter of Isaiah is the prophecy of his church in the time of the latter rain, from which we quote, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Yahshua is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people of the SDA church, but the Yahshua shall arise upon thee, the house of David, with the 144,000, as their prophets, priests, and kings that are sitting upon the thrones, ruling in the kingdom of heaven, which is called the house of David, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings unto the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come unto thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 4. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Revelation 18, 1. For the remnant of the Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Yahshua shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Isaiah 60, verse 2. Such a glorious time is ahead of Yahweh's church. Micah 4:2. First part. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahshua, and unto the house of the Yahweh of Jacob, and he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path. For the words I just quoted are spoken by the nation. When the church of the Yahweh is purified and filled with the Holy Spirit, clad in the armor of Yahshua's righteousness, the purified church of the house of David is to enter upon her final conflict. Fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners. She is to go forth into all the world, conquering and to conquer. Prophets and Kings, page 725. Indeed, people will inquire and invite one another, saying, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahshua and unto the house of the Yahweh of Jacob. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the portions, that in the margin it says, their wealth of the Gentiles, and that their king may be brought, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. For the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Yahshua, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. That's the Holy One of Israel, Yahshua the Son. Isaiah 60, verse 11, 13, and 14. Indeed, this is the harvest time spoken of by the prophet, and a great ingathering from all the nations for the house of the Yahweh of the Jacob, meaning the church into which 144,000 are sealed, which is in the house of David, Israel the true. So the house of David here in this 12th parabolic hour is called the true Israel of this time. Micah 4:2. Last part. For the law shall go forth of the Zion, and the word of Yahshua from Yahushua. When the law of the Yahshua is proclaimed by his church, you can clearly see what is meant by a righteous church, righteous people, who would obey the voice of the Yahshua, Zephaniah. Looking down through the ages by the prophetic eye, foresaw this glorious church. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Zephaniah 3:13. None need misunderstand this scripture. It will be fulfilled just as it is written. Though some may think this prophecy is empty talk because the people are saying, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Yahshua for reading the counsels of teaching. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel and the house of David after those days, said the Yahshua. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their Yahweh, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Yahshua. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Yahshua. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up unto the mountain of Yahshua, and unto the house of Yahweh of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord shall go forth of Zion, and the word of Yahshua from Jerusalem. Micah 4:2. Counsel to teachers, page 454 and 5. Note that the spirit of the prophecy applies, Micah 4:2, as a sure prophecy that will come to pass and find its fulfillment with the people of the Yahweh by the associating the verse with the Isaiah 54:11-14, and Jeremiah 31:33-34. For scriptures find their fulfillment and the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message and the 12th parabolic hour, and that's the hour we're in now, Micah 4:3. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. And he shall judge among the many people, and rebuke strong nations afar. And Isaiah 60:10-12, we have the explanation of the text. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy wall, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yes, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And they shall beat their swords into the plowshares, and their spears into the pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. For this first read exactly the opposite of Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. These scriptures reveal two classes of the people. One class shall flow into the church by the great groups, kings, and great army leaders who have been building destroying weapons and preparing for war. Now the gospel has conquered them. While they are joining the church, they gather their war implements, beating them into plowshares and pruning hooks. Violence shall not be, no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. That thou shalt call thy wall salvation, and thy gates praise, Isaiah 60:18. The other class outside of the church prepare for war, beating their plowshares into swords, and their pruning hooks into spears. One people is preparing for translation while the other is getting ready for conquest. Therefore, both scriptures run parallel and will be fulfilled at the same time. Thus, the world will be divided into two great separate and distinct classes, separating the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep. Micah 4:4. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Yahshua the host has spoken. For the meaning of the verse is that the Yahweh's church is in an absolute security, and none need fear. Remember that 144,000 are sealed before this time, and their life is sure. None can harm them, nor touch their present life, or the life to come, for they are living saints to be translated. Having this assurance, none can make them afraid, and they shall triumph with the victory. According to Isaiah 60:17, last part and 18. I will also make thy officers peace, and thy exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. Micah 4:5. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Yahshua, our Redeemer, our King, our Savior, forever and ever. For the verse is unmistakably clear that the world would be divided into two great and separate classes. For the Yahweh's people will have nothing in common with the wicked, and would say, all people will walk everyone in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our Yahweh, forever and ever, like aforesaid. And that day, said the Yahshua, will I assemble her that is halted, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, meaning the church now in this present condition, I will make her a remnant. That is, after the separation, purification, those who are left, 144,000, being the remnant, the affliction is the time of the purification. The affliction is in the time of the purification, Micah 4:7. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Yahshua shall reign over them in the Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the land of Israel, from henceforth, even forever. Her that was cast far off, the church of this present time, was cast off, or as it reads in Revelation 3:16, I will spew thee out of my mouth, meaning the present latest sin state, but in his mercy he will gather the remnant, those that are left, and make the church a strong nation by the ingathering of the Gentiles and through the message. A great army of the 144,000 filled with the Holy Spirit will fearlessly proclaim the message in all the world, going forth conquering and to conquer. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. Either Yahshua will hasten it in his time. Isaiah 60:22. And Yahshua shall reign over them from henceforth, even forever. Yahshua himself takes charge of the flock once and forever. For Yahshua has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Volume 5:8. Micah 4:8. And thou, O tower of the flock, that would be the house of David, the everlasting kingdom with 144,000, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, Adam and Eve, is coming to them, this kingdom. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Yerusha. This verse is familiar unto all. A prophecy of Yahshua, O tower of the flock, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The first dominion is the dominion that Adam lost. For the promise is that Yahshua will restore it all, and in turn, by inheritance, it shall come to the church, his people. For the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Yahshua. Well, that brings the 30th verse. That is our contrast at the 11th alcohol. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song.